Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9, and you are listening to Besneric Rhyme. My name's Linda. And for those of you who have heard the show before, you're familiar with the concept. Each week, I choose one poem by a local poet, and then the poet and I do the thing in the poem. We've had, last week, we had Amanda LaMarche on, who was drawing the ear. And we've had tours of donut emporiums. We've had bedbug excitements. This week, our poet, our guest poet, is Regan Taylor, who's originally from Hudson, Quebec. She's had her work published as a broadside with Delirium Press. I'm going to just jump right in. Before I start, I will just let you know that in terms of upcoming readings, the Robson Reading Series is putting on a night of reading on Thursday, April 5th. So I guess that's next week. And they're having Fred Waugh and Roy Meakey, so it's kind of a big occasion. And that's at the Robson Library space down in Robson Square downtown, and that'll be at 7 p.m. So, yeah, I'm going to just cue you up the audio with Regan and enjoy.
Saturday night biking. Out on the star-pocked asphalt, silent and solo, skirting potholes, I ride, past parties dwindling on lawns. Beer chatter infusing our snug neighborhood with looseness, laziness, beautiful slurs. Every house has one eye half open, dozes. I slow before the lit doors of a rec center where some high school band is hammering out their best Heart of Gold. Teens with cupped cigarette embers flirt in the dark outside. I've been to Hollywood, I've been to Redwood. I always move on before the song ends. Shirtless silhouette hangs blinds in a stark second-story apartment, first of the month, emptiness of coolness against his back. The whir of revolutions as I backpedal and click, treading air at intersections, circling back to zero, taking it home.
Listeners, let me introduce you to Claudette. Claudette is a royal blue 1974 Ladies Apollo with a black seat, black handlebars, and a basket bent and dented from all the times that Regan Taylor has dropped her on the ground. She's been trying to lock her to slippery parking meters, telephone poles, and bike racks. Claudette has a predecessor in Regan Taylor's life, an old BMX named Chanel, loved and left behind in Regan's native Quebec. Claudette, however, is kind of the star of today's episode, and it's when Claudette rolled into Regan Taylor's life that her move to Vancouver started feeling like the right idea. Here's Regan spelling out the route she and Claudette usually take.
So, oh, I even have my bike pack, Matt.
Really?
See? Yeah, I love my bike pack. So we're here.
Okay. We are Granville and 15th.
Yeah, which is right here. So the yellow ones are the really busy streets. Pink is a real bike path and blue is a semi-bike path. Wide enough and has buttons. So 14th is a semi-bike path street, so we're going to go along 14th up Heather.
Okay.
Along, it's not King Edward, it's 19th.
Okay.
That's the street.
Where? Is this your sort of four-legger bike path?
Yeah,
or are you going somewhere?
No, it's from, well, if I'm going to Maine, this is what I do.
Okay.
But we're going to go to Ontario, which is one over from Maine, right? Or two over from Maine. And then the community center that's in the poem is right there.
Okay.
And then go back down on 10th.
Do you have a light on your bike? Okay. So I will be able to find you. All right. Going! Ah! Ooh. Honkerific.
Was that at us?
No, I think that was just for fun. I'm gonna get off my bicycle on this side. Like, I don't have the dexterity to, like, get off on the other side without falling.
I used to be like that. My bike seat's too low right now.
Mine is too. It is bad, and it's also harder.
It is harder.
You know. The first thing that strikes me about this poem is that although it's very densely populated, there's the speaker, and then there's the teens, and there's the silhouetted figure, and there are the people at the party. It doesn't really feel like people are necessarily the point. I don't feel like they're at the center of what's going on.
That's the point of the poem at all, right? That I always move on before the song ends. It's that you move on in every part of your life before it's complete. You don't stay for the ending because it's usually disappointing or shitty. And the speaker in the poem is getting out of there before the song gets any worse or before the night ends and she has to witness all this ending. Even though it's witnessed for a moment, you know?
It kind of feels like the speaker is chasing that sense of ending almost, because they're going out at the end of the night when everything's kind of dying out.
So looking to, like, find a party to crash or, you know, meet someone on the street. Yeah, sort of. And that's one of the reasons why I go out, get on my bike. It's like, maybe I'll bump into someone interesting. And, you know, I never have.
Never, ever.
But I think that the thing about people not being the point is kind of, yeah, they are the point. That's it. Is that what we wanted to convey, some sense of someone going out looking for people but not managing to connect with them at all. So you can't be stopped when you're on a bike. You're not, you don't look stoppable or approachable. But when you're walking, you can be, you know, you can be asked something as simple as the time.
Yeah.
And that's even, you know, even that could be uncomfortable if you don't feel comfortable in a place.
But I feel like people do still talk to me on my bike. I feel like it's like other people on bikes talk to you.
Yes.
You know, like if you're waiting in a light and someone else comes up to the light, I feel like for sure a lot of the time the other person on the bike will be like, so, and start talking to me about bike or about my light or whatever.
In your neighborhood, maybe. People on the west side don't talk to each other on bikes.
Do you feel like the fact that you're on a bike, in terms of kind of specificity and anonymity of who you are, is not that hard? It's got this kind of, look at us, we're in this together, you and me, we're on our bicycles.
Yeah.
This sort of us and them thing.
Definitely, you feel a little bit cooler being on the bike. I feel a little bit tougher and stronger and neater on the bike.
Right.
You know, you definitely feel like you're part of a club with someone else that's on a bike, even if you're never going to see them again.
A moment of nostalgia here, if we may. Regan Taylor's Chanel is not easily forgotten.
My bike in Montreal is ridiculous. It's like a little banana bike.
Right.
It's bright blue, and it's in pretty nice shape. And people would offer me money for it on the street while I was riding it. Yeah, I mean, it's not like jazzed up or anything. It's from the 70s. I didn't do anything to it. But it just sort of has something to it.
Like, I guess in terms of the people you pass, and the reason I guess that I felt like it wasn't about people was because they get such sort of generic terms. It's not even like when you observe teens with cigarettes.
They're not specific teens.
They're not specific
people. You're right.
Like, it's not even like a boy and a girl, or like two boys, or, you know.
Well,
any of those things, and they're not even, they don't receive sort of little, like, they don't get carriage flags almost.
Yeah,
you know?
Nothing.
They're just teens, and the person, the speaker, sees them as, like, an undifferentiated kind of, like, they're almost like landscape.
Right.
You know, I pass that post, I pass the teen, the cigarette.
But I think there's not really landscape in the poem, so this is what the speaker is paying attention to. I think part of why they're generic is, or that the people aren't seen at all, like when there are parties, it's not people at parties.
Yeah,
it's parties when they're on the lines. You don't see the people. And I think it's dark, it's nighttime, you're going at a certain clip. You don't really get a chance to even, you can't really tell if someone's a girl or a boy or how many there are. You hear voices, you can sort of tell there are people, but because you're on the bike, you don't get a chance to make that distinction. And that is just, that's part of what you lose, obviously.
Because you're moving quickly, in a sense, you experience more people. Because you pass them faster, you see a whole bunch of them in a short time. But you don't, like, you experience all of them as a sort of, like, generic, like, they're very much, like, shouting warm little on.
Yeah, right? Of course, yeah. Even during the day, oh Jesus, how do we get across there?
Those of you out there who've been biking around Vancouver on a regular basis in the last few months can probably guess where we are. Regan Taylor and I have just hit Cambie, which is under construction for the new transit line. There's netting, there are gaping holes. Frankly, it's a bit of a disaster. We can't cross, and instead, we're rerouted.
Cross at 18th. up. Look. So messy. Let's head back up to 19th.
Okay.
Yar. Okay. So, right. One thing I thought was that the silhouetted figure is almost the one who's the most on par with the speaker. Like, they're alone, and it's sort of, they're the one who draws the reader's attention.
And they don't have curtains, right? In the poem, there's no curtains, they're hanging up blinds. And they haven't done so yet, so you can see right into an apartment like that.
Of opportunity.
Yeah, and they're also not wearing a shirt. Originally, in the poem, it was a genderless silhouette. In the way it is now, it says his.
Right.
Or he. But originally, there was no gender, and everyone was angry about that. If we read
Why?
It. No, well, because they said if she is shirtless, then she's flashing. And I was like, well, I didn't
what?
Mean that, but I also could not tell, really, if it was a boy or a girl.
Right.
So now it's a boy, just for simplicity's sake.
Are we going to pass the actual window question?
I don't know if I could remember it. I could try. The poem is something that I'm, still new to this city, kind of.
Right.
I've had a few, a little run of poems about, houses and homes and not really understanding what yours is. I think this fits in there. I was writing it in that state of mind of this is my neighborhood. And it's not even my neighborhood. Where I go and I say our neighborhood, it's not my neighborhood, but I feel more in this part of the city than I do in my on my street. Well, come on.
You do live on Granville.
I do.
It's a weird, weird street.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're the only person on a bike in your neighborhood?
Sometimes. Like, going down the alley, there's no other people on bikes, usually. Sometimes there's kids on skateboards. I figure they're all coming from Shaughnessy, going downtown on their skateboards.
Uh-huh.
Tons of commuter bike traffic on 10th. But it's, guys in, bright orange vests.
Right.
They're bike clips, and, yeah, they chase,
cyclists.
They're not doing it for fun. They're not doing it because it's cheap entertainment.
Cyclists are indeed a different breed from your casual bicyclist. As Regan put it, there's a difference between saying, let's go biking, and saying, let's ride bikes. The emphasis in the latter is on ride. The difference is in whether it's Regan or Claudette who is expected to do the most work. One main task that Regan identifies, even for the casual rider of bikes, is trying to avoid those pesky pedestrians. Here we're just pulling up to the rec center from stanza 3.
I feel that way. I'm terrified of hitting someone with my bike. That's why I have a bell. 16, stop. So that's the community center. You can stop there if you want. And those are the doors right there. Yeah, those ones. It was right in there.
Can you see in these windows?
Yeah.
It looks like the most tame place on earth to have a band as a teenager.
I know. They have shows here, too. Bands play here. So, yeah, there's a teen center. I couldn't really tell if people were dancing. I was more focused on the people outside because they were there, and they were obviously sneaking out for a cigarette. Don't really know if they were even teenagers. I don't even know if it was a high school band. It could have been a band of 50-something old guys or something. Together to, practice in the garage or what have you. No, that's not even right. I don't know the words to Heart of Gold.
Give me just the lines with
I've been to
Hollywood.
I've been to Redwood.
Across the ocean.
Across the ocean.
For a heart of gold.
I've been in my mind. It's such a fine mind.
It's such a
it keeps
fine
me searching
mind.
For
something.
And a harmonica. See, now this would be so much better if we had a banjo and a harmonica.
Searching for a heart of gold.
expressions I never give that keep me searching for a heart of gold. Like, what does that mean?
It means he can't express his love, so he's never going to be able to find his soulmate.
Do you usually
have? My parents said that I looked like Neil Young when I was a baby. Which is not a compliment.
Do you feel like you usually have a song running through your mind when you're on your bike?
No, you know what I have? I have whistling tunes.
Whistling tunes?
Yeah. I just have like a little phrase that I'll whistle, either from an actual song or just something that I make up. I'm a decent whistler, or I'll hum the theme song from the Andy Griffith Show.
How does that go?
More to it, to the theme song, but that's all I know. Yeah, I do stuff like that, and I find sometimes this is terrible. This is something that I can't do when I'm walking, which because I'm civilized, or I try to be. But on my bike, if I see someone doing something stupid or being obnoxious, I'll comment on them.
Yell out? Like,
no.
Nice shoes?
No, I won't yell, but I'll say it, like, audibly enough. But they're not listening to me. It's just like, it makes me feel better that I can say it out loud, and they're not going to be able to catch me.
Opportunely enough, here Regan and I were almost mowed down by a big red pickup truck. We screeched to a halt by the side of the road, and as he passed us, the driver whipped the burning end of his cigarette into the dust at our feet. But don't worry, in a minute we'll see a beautiful magnolia tree.
We found him on the wrong side of the street. That was probably on purpose. We were on the wrong side of the street.
Yeah.
We're also double file. But he's also a big jerk in a pickup truck. See, now, if that would have been me by myself and I just happened to sort of get stuck on the street through his cigarette, I would have said, like, classy, you were. Nice one. something cutting and witty like that. Oh, look at that truck. I feel like I see that truck every time I cross the street. Hey, wait, this way. No, the silhouette, I think, was on one of the sort of 1960s sort of 3-4-story buildings down here. Oh, look at that!
Yeah.
They're so weird how they flower before they leave. They look like olives that are stripping.
How do you mean stripping?
Well, because the husk of them is sort of olive-covered and shaped.
Right.
Big olives. And then they're, you know, they're shaking off the clothes and they're pink and nude underneath. There are also many lovely lawns. It might even have been that building. Okay, with that. And then you can see a whole square window through the trees or next to the trees.
That last line, before the silhouetted figure, the I always move on before the song ends, it's unique in the poem in that it's the only one where we see emotional weight attached to something in terms of the speaker.
Oh, that line is the only sort of self-reflective.
Yeah.
I do this. Yeah, I think that's why I think it's the key line.
I feel like I almost see the silhouetted person as more real than the speaker.
Really?
They seem to be doing.
Well, we get more
lit.
And we get more details about their life.
Yeah. You know.
We do.
Know that they just move. We know that they're not wearing a shirt. We know that they're
a he.
He. Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff compared.
It's big.
Yes, and yet we don't know anything at all because they're inside, we're outside. But that's also, that's a full account. We know there's probably not too much other information that the speaker has about that spot that they could share.
IVGH.
Just keep going. They're all hospital buildings. I find it so funny too that 10th, here we are at 10th, it's fairly quiet. And there's trees and there's little lawns. One block that way is Broadway. You would not want to, well, I would not want to bike on it.
Yeah.
We're getting looks. This is the only hill. Mm. And it's not even.
It's more of a, like, long slope.
It's an incline. Right. Yeah. Oh, look, there's some people on bikes. Because I'm not in shape at all. Yeah, those are new muscles that have been probably fairly...
Well...
Even if you've been doing other stuff all winter?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not super comfortable. Yeah, I get, like sore bum bruises. Well, they have technology now. for your ass.
Like what?
Gels. And they kind of have the hole.
Yeah. That doesn't need grease at all.
Past the VGH, up the hill to the lights, and we'd almost made it around the full loop back to Regan's house. We turned up the last alley, where Regan gave me the insider's alley tour.
Now, I usually go up the alley. Vidge, the most delightfully scented dumpster in the whole city.
Oh, really?
Yes.
LA.
It smells like onions and butter. Mm. It's also, like, it's probably a very clean dumpster. Classy joint. The back doors of all these shishi clothing stores. And then above, they're all law offices. Now we have to cross 12. Not a delay, but it's usually not a problem. I can even go right now. Once I was biking down this alley, and some kid on a BMX came up behind us and yelled, "Losers!"
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. No idea. "Losers!"
That's funny.
We were probably going too slow. Her bike is enormous, and it's a girl's bike, but it's got big handlebars. It's got pink brake cables. It's just a huge bike. And yeah, you ride like this, because the handlebars are up here.
Right.
It's a good ride. It's way too big for me.
At the end of a long bike ride, it feels strange to go inside again. The air is different, the sound is different, the pace you're moving at loses its airborne quality, and you're back to human scale again. Back inside, Regan fed her cat, Harvey, listened for his valuable input here, and talked about the time shifts and the sound pairings in this poem. To me, that line, "I always move on before the song ends," the clue to me that lets you know that this is the emotional core of the poem is the word "always." And the way that the poem is set in the present, but that word sets it in this kind of continuous sense of time. And the way it's positioned right after the lines from the song, which is this classic oldies song. This song kind of is the way of bringing the past into the poem and sort of providing an undercurrent of nostalgia. So maybe you can talk about the time shifts in the poem and how the tenses move to create that sense of time.
There's a lot of gerunds, a lot of being habitual or something that's already happening and it's going to keep happening and it's, you know, dwindling. There's going to be parties every Saturday night. There's hammering out their best Heart of Gold. Like, there's probably been, you know, since the song was written, there are high school bands performing this, or any kind of cover band, really, performing this song, you know, to the best of their ability. There are a few places where I've tried to just emphasize just the simple present, like, "I ride." So yeah, it's as simple as that. I mean, there's more to the thought here in the poem, but "I ride," it's all you need to know. This silhouette is also in the simple present. Hangs lines in a stark second-story apartment. And that's probably the only time they're going to do that there. And then the last three verbs in the poem are, again, that habitual. The simple present is sort of like strong verb. It's backpedal, which isn't a strong verb at all. And treading air, too, with doing nothing. Those last three verbs, treading, circling, and taking.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was the word pairings in this poem. And the one that stuck out for me was star-pocked asphalt. How star-pocked almost sounds like rocks spitting out from under a tire, like pebbles, uh-huh. Or a piece of gravel underneath something. And then asphalt has that smooth feel,
right,
of tires just sort of cleanly running on pavement.
Yep.
So I was wondering if you could kind of lead me through some of the stuff you've done.
Okay. Well, skirting, I think it's a pretty good word, because it's a funny verb that takes the word skirt, which you think of as moving. Skirting is something that you definitely have to do. And also the next one is fried. It takes a long time to
tell me why.
This is the end of the sort of dawdling.
Tell me why. Is it hard to make arrangements with yourself when you're old enough to repay, but young enough?
Tell me lies later. Come and see me. I'll be.
let you
like,
smile.
Like they like it better from the inside.
Tell me why. Tell me why.
Listening to Bezneric Rhyme on CITR 101.9. That was our interview with Regan Taylor. And that's it for today's show. Join us next week at the same time. And stay tuned for Reel to Reel. Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Reel to Reel at the Movies. Robert Waldman back in action. Lots of brand new movies to talk about. Couple of holdovers, and we might even be able to sneak in a live theater review and possibly a play. We're going to begin with a brand new movie called The Wind That Shakes the Barley. Trusted, noted film.